From the Jackalope Studios high above the city in beautiful Zona Rosa, welcome to Minutes to Memories, reconnecting spirit, mind, and body with your host, Dr. Daryl Drumright.
Summertime colds, it's one of the things the kids bring home. They're kind of like cats. They bring, go out and get the bugs and bring them back to you, and you got to process them through. So tonight I'm dealing with that issue, but I think I'm going to make it through this. So back onto the air tonight on Friday night, everybody grab a cold one and we'll sit back and turn Minutes to Memories for the next few minutes. We're going to split the show up into a couple different features tonight. There's a very important issue come up in Missouri, so we're going to talk a little politics, and then we're going to talk about the Tao Te Ching and actually read some of a translation of this ancient book of wisdom. I want to kickstart this off by saying thank you to some friends out there and help people understand that in the state of Missouri, coming up on August 3rd, we have a primary ballot, and on that ballot is a issue that's called Proposition C. I want you to vote yes on Proposition C because I am a chiropractor and an acupuncturist. As an acupuncturist, I offer a different system of health care than your standard drugs and surgery and what you get out there. You see, in America today, we've got some movement afoot that's trying, the government that's trying to take over all aspects of your life, and one of the things they've done is think that they've passed a healthcare bill that they're going to tell you everything there is to know about your own health. Literally, in the future, you will not be able to pay your doctor any longer. You'll pay the insurance/government, and then they will pay your doctor for you. Sounds all good unless you actually are a doctor and you believe in free market and you believe that in the business models. You see, your doctor will not be allowed to accept payment directly from you for his services. So how is he going to be motivated to actually help you? Like anybody, any human being out there, you're motivated by how you get your rewards. So if all of my rewards are coming from the government/insurance, then who is my boss? Who the person writing the check? And therefore, my motivation is going to be to serve their interests. And so you, the patient, who no longer can influence me directly because you can't pay for me anymore, you are taken by the IRS and taken by the insurance industry. All the money to pay for this system is going to be taken from you without your choice whatsoever, and then redistributed with all the great wisdom of the central planners that we have up in Washington. Well, that's what's passed on a federal level, but Missouri is, I'm very proud to say, leading the way in opposing this, and one of the ways that we've done this is this last legislative session, we got a bill passed that was a declaration that we got passed through the House and Senate without much opposition, and now we have it on the ballot of August 3rd as a constitutional amendment. It's called Proposition C. Now, I'm going to read a portion of Proposition T, too. It's very simple, easy to read, and I want to say, you can go to my website, harmonyhealth.com, and if you go to the bottom left-hand corner, there's access to my blog, and all this information is posted on the blog for your review. But bottom line, this is what Proposition C is going to do for us. It says, no law or rule shall compel, directly or indirectly, any person, employer, or healthcare provider to participate in any healthcare system. Now, does that make sense? Sounds like a good free market way of doing business. You can't force me to participate in something I don't want to participate in. You know, a little trivia, I want to mention this as well. If you live in the Kansas City area, this Monday night at the Uptown Theater in the Conspiracy Room, we're having a party, a pro-Proposition C party. Also, State Senator Chuck Pergerson will be there to discuss his efforts to promote Proposition C and his campaign to run for the Senate seat that Kip Bond is stepping down from. This is Monday night. We're going to start the party at 5:30. Also during this party, we're showing the new movie, Don't Tread on Me, and William Lewis, one of the producers of the movie, will actually be be in attendance to watch the movie with us that night. Now, this is a fundraiser. It doesn't cost anything to get in. I want to open the, it's my party. I want to open the door for anybody who wants to come in and learn about Proposition C and Chuck Pergerson. But if you at all understand the importance of what where America and where Missouri is right now, please come prepared the best you can to support both the senator and Proposition C. So Monday night at the Uptown, beginning at 5:30, the movie will probably start sometime between 7:30 and 8 o'clock. We have appetizers and a cash bar, so the doors will open till probably around midnight. Please come and hang out with fellow patriots and free market conservatives. So Proposition C. Number two, a person or employer may pay directly for lawful health care services and shall not be required by law or rule to pay penalties or fines for paying directly for lawful health care services. A health care provider may accept direct payment for lawful health care services and shall not be required by law or rule to pay penalties or fines for accepting direct payment from a person or employer for lawful health care services. So, in America that I grew up in, this seemed like a non-starter. I mean, why would you even have to make a law like this if everything around here was operating on a free market system like they tell us that it's supposed to be operating on? This should never even come up. But sadly, the elected officials that call themselves leaders have deemed to create a system of socialist healthcare where they are literally designing a program to where they make all the rules. This is how it's set up. By 2014, you'll be paying your insurance premium, and it'll be monitored via the IRS. They're hiring 20,000 new IRS agents to monitor your health insurance. The chiropractic leadership is happy that their names are mentioned in the formation of healthcare panels that will actually go out into your home and help you fill out surveys and interview you on your lifestyle choices so that the IRS can determine what's adequate, and they get to determine what adequate is, adequate levels of health insurance for you. Then they will simply take it out of your paycheck and include it as part of your taxes to participate in this system. When you go to the doctor at this point, you will not pay your doctor directly. There'll be no out-of-pocket expenses there. The doctor will examine you and then submit his findings to the insurance/government, who will decide from their point of view whether you deserve care or not. This will tell the doctor what they're going to pay them, how much they're going to pay them, and then the doctor will accept payment from them while treating you. Now, this whole situation totally disincentivizes or takes away the doctor-patient relationship by placing a third-party controlling party right in the middle. You go to the doctor, you have a personal problem, you go to the doctor, you ask the doctor for help. In the old way you're doing business, it was a very private relationship. The doctor had some skills and some knowledge that you didn't have. You had a problem that you didn't understand. You go to the expert. The expert explains it to you. He gives you some advice, maybe a little bit of a medicine or homework or something to help you take care of it. You appreciate it. You pay the doctor at the door. Everybody's happy. The doctor's not rich, but he has a good life because he's committed himself to his education and helping other people. You're not overcharged. Everything's on free market, and it's all good. But then sometime in the 1960s, they created this Medicare system, and once we introduced the third-party system where somebody else is paying for it, sad to say, greed starts getting into the mix. The doctor hires a business manager who's saying, look, you're not charging the right thing. You're not putting the right codes on the bills. We can change things around. You do this exam here. You do that exam there. You learn this script of how to guide the patient through a treatment process. We submit that process and those code words into the insurance system, and then the insurance system will coordinate. If we've got all of our manual read right and all of our codes filled out right, we're going to get paid big bucks for processing these people. So we go from intimate connection, eye to eye. You're the patient with the problem. I'm the doctor. I'm looking, examining, working with you to try to find a solution to your problem, to a completely impersonal, almost manufacturing type relationship where you are nothing but the product coming down the production line, like at the Ford Motor Plant. You come in. I look at the book, it tells me to do this exam, that exam, you have this complaint, I do this exam, it leads to this specialist, it leads to that other exam, which requires further examinations. We come back, we have this complicated diagnosis, which includes specialist treatments for this and more exams for that. Your case gets sent off to the office manager, who evaluates your insurance status, and if the insurance status is really good, then you're going to go in for more exams. So as you see, this gets very impersonal and it gets very business oriented. For the doctor to make a living, he learns how to do the business side of things more than he learns how to actually do the doctor side of things. And then every good doctor out there, and I feel sorry for him more than anything, because in their training and their ethics and their intention was to help people. It really was. They went to school because they want to help people. The problem is, with the lawyers attacking them for liability issues, with everybody shirking responsibility and looking for scapegoats, and then a third party stepping in who's going to pay for everything, the whole thing just falls apart. It doesn't hold up whatsoever. So the quality of healthcare goes down, the price of healthcare goes through the roof. Think about this. In technology, computer technology, cell phone technology, and these kind of things, as the technology advances, the price goes down. What you can buy for $500 now is 100 times more powerful than what you could buy for $500 two or 5 years ago. So even look at your plasma TVs and your other technologies. As the technology gets better, the price goes down because you're on a free market. You get a new manufacturing techniques. The production costs go down, so your overall costs go down, and you have a natural free market effect. But in healthcare, because you have a third-party payer system or somebody else who's going to pay for this, the price goes up. Because the technology comes out, you set the price, the insurance who's paying for it says, look, we make our profit by increasing the cost because we're a regulated industry, and the only way we make a profit is a percentage off the top. So if we want our shareholders to earn more money, we have to increase the cost of healthcare, and that way our 2% or 1% of profit off the top will go up as the expansion of the process goes. So you're always looking for the newest, hottest, most expensive procedures, the newest, hottest patented drugs, and that's the whole patent process of the pharmaceutical industry, is to create something very desirable, marketable, yet expensive, and then you set up a third-party system to pay for it, and then you take the insurance money out of the people's paychecks before they even see it, so they don't even realize how much they pay for it. I had somebody in the office today, I was talking about, he had a cartilage removed out of his knee. I'm like, well, I have a floating piece of cartilage in my knee, which I do Qigong and acupuncture and stuff and keep it well maintained. It doesn't bother me, but it's still there. So I ask him, you know, how much that procedure cost? And the answer I should have known before, because this is the same answer I always get, is, well, I don't know. I don't know how much it cost. I had insurance, and my copay was $200. I'm like, well, you know, I would pay for cash for that kind of procedure if it was affordable. So I would be interested very much in how much that actually would cost for cash. But he couldn't answer that question. Maybe I can look into it myself. I believe that, back to Proposition C, what this legislation does in the state of Missouri is it reinforces the free market in the healthcare system within the state of Missouri. So with this passing on August 3rd, and we have no organized opposition to it, so it looks very good to pass. Please, if you live in Missouri, help us pass this. Vote yes on Proposition C. But if this passes in the state of Missouri, it literally says that you cannot be penalized for doing business directly with your doctor. What this is going to do is going to encourage doctors who are fed up with the system and the third party and the impersonal of it and not actually getting to know the patients. Any of the doctors that are not in it for the money and actually in it for being a good doctor are going to be allowed to set up shop and do direct cash business with the people living in their community, so they can help you, look you in the eye, give you the best service they can, and understand that this is financially sensitive, and he has to come up with ways to help you that aren't costly to you. They can actually make it affordable to you, and he can build his business by doing a quality service for a quality price, and we restore free market economics into healthcare in Missouri. I believe that this is going to lead the way, as we will demonstrate that free market healthcare is a much better way of controlling healthcare costs than a centrally planned system where somebody who's not even a doctor, who's not even involved, doesn't even have the problems, sits back and looks at a manual and looks at a list of standard protocols and procedures and says, this is good, this is not good, you can do this so many times and not do it so many times, and it comes out of some book sitting someplace else, which is what we've had for the last 20 years. And obviously, that doesn't work. The healthcare expenses are expanding and growing, where the cost of everything else in the world is going down, the cost of healthcare continues to go up. So just to be completely open on this, I'm going to read the rest of Proposition C. It's not very long. It says, number three, subject to reasonable and necessary rules that do not substantially limit a person's options, I love the wording of that, the purchase or sale of health insurance in private health care systems shall not be prohibited by law or rule. What that basically says is, just because in Missouri you have the right to refuse to participate in a health care system, doesn't mean you can't participate in the health care system. You can absolutely voluntarily participate in any health care system that you want to participate in. So if it's a third-party payer insurance system that you're most comfortable with, step right up. You know, shop around. Please try to involve a third market approach and find the best price for you. But you cannot be compelled to participate in it. What that's also saying is, for instance, I have major medical insurance for my children. It doesn't cover anything. It's $5,000 deductible or better, and it doesn't cover any kind of office visits. I cover all that stuff with cash. That would not be adequate for me to participate in Obama's national health care plan, because he needs healthy people to buy big policies and then not use them, so that the pre-existing conditions and all these other promises they're making can be paid for. I just don't believe that a centrally run economy is anything even close to what I thought of as an American system. We need to go to the mindset of the free market economics and free market healthcare, and I truly believe that Proposition C in the state of Missouri will help us fix all that and lead the way for the nation. We're going to take a break here in just a second. Let's go to some music. Let me clear my throat.
Thank you. Who's the only one here who knows the illegal ninja moves from the government?
Jackalope 105 FM.
Okay, we're back. Broadcasting from the castle. What is it? What do we call it? The Berry View Castle. That's in right. North Kansas, in Kansas City North. This is a neat old building. If you ever have a if you've never been by my clinic, I'm on the second floor of the Berry View Castle. It's a 25-year-old building that was. If the story of this, Todd, if you know the story of this building, it was built by an eccentric old lady who wanted to own a castle. So she bought this property up here back before Berry Road was expanded and before I-29 and all this stuff that's gone on up here. She bought this property and had her architects build a castle. Well, I guess her family was saying, you know, you got to do something with this. You know, you're not going to live in it. So they built it with that glass center foyer and all the neat things that are going on here. But they built it in such a state that it's a commercial building. And so she opened it up for commercial space almost 30 years ago now. And if you go out on the outside of the building, it's got copper roofs. I mean, all the roofs are covered in copper, and it's a stone building with multiple turrets and all kinds of really funny looking building. When my instructor, Master Juan from Beijing, came in town, he came up to the building to visit me, and we did a show here in the building. And he was very impressed and really liked the chi of the building and the focus of the feng shui, they call it. In China, they put their temples on what we call lei structures or acupuncture points on the planet Earth. The Earth has a chi field, just like the human body has a chi field. Ley lines, yeah, exactly. Well, he was quite convinced that this building has more to it than what meets the eye, that with the copper structure and the stone structure and the way it's oriented north and south, that there may be something else going on here when they built this castle. I know it has a lot of good chi for my healing. I do a lot of energy work around here, and I find it very easy to stir up chi and to build the yuan chi up, so that when I pass it on to the patients, it I really, really like it. And the other doctor in the office also notices that it's got very good energies around here. And yeah, you've been here for a week now, and you just feel comfortable here, don't you? Yeah. You come in here and you just take a deep breath and go, oh yeah, this is kind of nice. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to change the topic a little bit here. I want to give a lot of what I'm going to be reading here is an interpretation of Lao Tzu's Tao Te Ching. And this particular interpretation is by a recently deceased friend of mine and a great master. His name is Dr. Ralph Allen Dale. He lived in Florida. He gave seminars. He did amazing work with acupuncture and with the Qigong study. And he really pushed the boundaries of translation of Chinese philosophy into the English language. This particular book is published through Barnes & Noble. I'm not sure if it's still available in print anywhere. I got this copy from him, but I was going through the front of the book, and it is published from Barnes & Noble Books. It's called The Tao Te Ching, T-A-O-T-E-C-H-I-N-G, A New Translation and Commentary by Ralph Allen Dale. Publication is 2002. I very highly recommend this book. I mean, the writings and the teachings, it's divided up in such a way that at first you have an explanation of terms, and then you have a direct translation of the Tao Te Ching, the 81 verses of the Tao Te Ching that give the Chinese caricatures, and then the translation. And then another section of the book goes back and redoes the translation, but then gives a very nice intellectual commentary put together by Dr. Dale. And as I read these words, his wisdom, his spirit comes to life very quickly. I read one of the verses to Todd earlier tonight, and I think you'll discover very quickly how magical that these words are. So we're going to start off with verse number one tonight. There's 81 verses, 5,000 characters throughout the entire volume, and this, as you read through it, it has wisdom and insight for almost all aspects of life, success, and your journey. Transcending, verse number one, the Tao that can be told is not the universal Tao. The name that can be named is not the universal name. In the infancy of the universe, there were no names. Naming fragments the mysteries of life into 10,000 things and their manifestations. Yet mysteries and manifestations spring from the same source. The great integrity, which is the mystery within manifestation, the manifestation within mystery, the naming of the unnamed and the unnaming of the named, when these Interpenetrations are in full attendance. We will pass the gates of naming notions in our journey towards transcendence. Okay, now I'm going to give you his commentary on this and then probably a little of my own as well. I'm certainly not a master. I'm only 48 years old. I have another 40 years probably to study before I can be close to the level of Dr. Dale. But I am honored to be here. I've been studying about 25 years now, so I'm not a beginner at it either. I'm about halfway through my internship. We are not only reminded here that there is a dichotomy between the unnamed, our intuition, and the named, our reasoning, but also that these two seemingly opposite mind worlds can be integral. Yet mysteries, our intuition, and manifestations, our experience, spring from the same source. The universal Tao, the great integrity, by which Lao Tzu means the wholeness and holiness that is embedded in our nature and in the entire nature of nature. Lao Tzu also reminds us of the mystery within manifestation, our intuition enriching our experience, the manifestation within mystery, our experience enriching our intuition. The naming of the unnamed, the infusion of our reasoning consciousness with our intuitive consciousness, and the unnaming of the named, the dissolution of alienation from our reasoning consciousness. What is implied here is nothing less than the healing of the split between the two hemispheres of our brain, which have become separated, alienated, and at war with each other during the past few thousand years. Practically speaking, this means, for example, the artistification of science, the scientification of art, the ecumenicalization of religion, and the spiritualization of life. In the realm of science, this is a process which nuclear physics, more than any other scientific discipline, has initiated. In a more advanced evolutionary stage, it will mean the transformation of our fixed and objective hierarchical structures into an objective, subjective, interactive process. For example, our present linearly and hierarchically structured language are likely to transform into music language, capable of communicating subtle differentiations and simultaneities of experience, reasoning, and feelings. In the realm of art, the great integrity implies the artistification of life and the gradual disappearance of our old age art closets, such as museums and performance halls. In a more advanced evolutionary stage, we can imagine the transformation of musical and dance composition to improvisational and of painting framed pictures to the artification of our entire environment. So you go from going to the museum for art that to a world where everything is art. Everywhere you go, any expression of your of creativity is created with the influence of an artistic expression. In the realm of religion, we can look forward to the ecumenical dissolution of sects, dogma, and superstitions, since they create a rigor mortis of the mind, emotions, and spirit. In an even more advanced evolutionary stage, we might achieve the spiritualization of every aspect of life and consciousness. This verse welcomes the disappearance of all boundaries among art, science, and religion as the walls and premises of every discipline dissolve into a higher consciousness and an uncompromising integrity of human relations and life experience. Therefore, when these interpretations are in full attendance, we will pass the gates of naming notions in our journey towards transcendence. I mean, that just makes you ponder.
It does.
I just love it, the way it unwinds. The mystery to me is this knowledge, as we move through the book, you're going to find verses that strike directly to the chord of what's going on in the world today. And what we fail to realize in our Western-trained minds is that the Chinese culture, the 2,500, 3,500 years ago, had developed banking systems. They had developed manufacturing systems. They had advanced society with courts and diplomats and interactions with other countries. I mean, they had things going on very similar to what's going on now. So nothing really changes. It's just like the Tao talks about. yin within yang, yang within yin. Everything comes to its max, and then from that maximum yang, the birth of the next phase of yin is born. The universal Tao means that everything is in change. Our world is based on the premise, and they want you to hold on to the belief system that you can somehow in your life create permanence. You can make something solid, make you solid, make a memory of you solid. But this is absolutely, and modern science is proving this, the opposite of what actually is happening. The universe is spinning, the earth is spinning, the atoms are spinning. Everything's moving, it's transforming, it's changing. So to embrace the change or embrace the Tao puts you in harmony with what you're observing in the external universe. Where to take the Western mindset of controlling, labeling, reducing, explaining, trying to make some permanent sense out of everything or some rule or law that always will work, it's proven to be wrong. just wrong, and that doesn't work. What it winds up doing is trapping the soul into the artificial creation that you've made, and as you cling to this artificial creation, the universal change goes on and drags at you, so you feel what people call stress as they're observing the universe move on, and they are putting all their hopes and emotion and attachment into something that existed in the past but no longer exists except in their own mind. But they get so focused on the self and the Western mindset of ego is that they continue to create that in their mind and continue to recreate it over and over for their own existence. Everyone around them moves on. They don't move on. Continues to add more stress. Continues to add more problems until something gives. So that's verse one. What I want to follow up with that is in our prior shows we talked a lot about meridian flow and how the body is the cell population of the body appears and follows the chi flow or the energy flow of chi. There's another pattern of energy that's flowing around the body that we call the five element patterns. The 12 meridians that we followed with the ministers of influence are important for clinical studies and how the body interacts with itself. But underneath that is another element of five elements. The five elements in Chinese acupuncture are wood, fire, earth, metal, and water. Now you see some of these depictions, I think the movie Airbender is out or is coming out soon, and also Karate Kid, which was recently out. If you watch the movie Karate Kid and look at the mats that they're fighting on during all those competitions, those mats are what's called the Bagua. The Bagua is a symbol with the yin-yang symbol in the middle, and around the outside is the eight trigrams of the Bagua, or the eight directions of creation. And if you look at the movie closely, this is amazingly symbol of Chinese culture. That whole movie moves through a promotion and enhancement of Western understanding of what the Chinese culture really is all about. It started off with saying, oh, everything in China is old, but then they go over there, it's like, oh, matter of fact, everything in China is new, because the world has moved its attention to China. They bought more GM cars last quarter than we bought GM cars, so that's kind of telling you where that's all going. But the five elements, wood, fire, earth, metal, water, the way to understand them best is to draw five circles in a circle, and it's like a pentagram, okay? It's a five-pointed star. At the top of the star, if you put the point at the top of the star is fire, and then to the right of fire is earth. To the right, in the lower right-hand corner, is metal. Then you sweep across the bottom, and the left-hand lower corner is water. And then the upper shoulder on the left-hand side is wood. Now, we talked about the elements, the meridians that go with it. All the meridians fit inside these elements. The fire element has four meridians, the small intestine, heart, the triple burner, and the circulation sex meridian. The earth element has the stomach and the spleen. Down into the water element, you have the metal element. You have the lung on the inside and large intestine on the outside. Then you go over to water element, and you have the kidney and bladder, and then up to the wood element, you have liver and gallbladder. Now, I probably, and Todd told me in future shows, we're going to be able to do some Skype video or something like that, so that as I'm doing some of these teachings, I may actually go back over some of this stuff so that I can put up charts and graphs and we can do whiteboards, all kinds of exciting stuff in the works.
Jack TV.
Yeah, so this radio show is about to evolve into something even more cool than it already is. And thank you, Todd, for letting me participate and be a part of this. This is exciting stuff. So you take those five circles, draw five circles around, and then draw another big circle that connects them up. Now, I want to get too detailed in it, but the yin, each one of the elements is split into yin and yang. And as we start defining yin and yang, yin in this particular one is on the inside of the circle, and yang is on the outside of the circle. Yang is translated as the sunny side of the mountain. So if you see a mountain with the sun shining on it, the side with the sun on it is the yang side, and the side in shadow is the yin side. You've heard yin and yang probably expressed as male and female. The yang is the male expression, the yin is the female expression. The best way of describing that is yin is source energy. It's the earth, it's the shadow, it's the underlying energy. Yang is the fire, it's the expression, it's the burning off of the energy. It's the sun or the heat that's expressed from the yin. So as we move around the five elements in the direction that I told you, that's called the Shen cycle or the creative cycle. Fire creates ash, which is represented in the earth element. Earth is the mother to metal. You dig in the earth to find the metal. So the metal element. So earth is the mother to metal. Metal, water condenses on metal. So that's kind of a stretch, I know, but that's the way they teach it. Metal is the parent or mother to water. Water condenses on metal. And water feeds wood. So it's the parent or mother to the wood element. And then wood feeds fire. So wood is the parent to fire. So you go around the outside of the circle in a creative, or what's called a Shen cycle, creative cycle. Wood creates fire, fire creates earth, earth creates metal, metal creates water, water creates earth, and around we go. Now, if you look at this as far as their seasonal associations, wood is related to the season of spring. Fire is represented with the season of summer. Earth is represented with the harvest season, which is late summer. Metal is represented with the fall season. And water is represented in the winter season. So as you go around the Shen or creative cycle, you're actually watching the planet Earth rotate around the sun through its annual cycle. So the cycle we talked about before was the 24-hour cycle. As the Earth spun on its axis, you go from the lung, large intestine, stomach, spleen, heart, small intestine, all the way around to the 12 meridians, every 2 hours changing meridians as the Earth is spinning on its axis. And then the five-element cycle is a cycle as the Earth spins around its center star or the sun. So now we're going to start seeing an interaction between the two. And this gets a little confusing because these are two completely different cycles. But to understand acupuncture, you have to somewhat marry them together and merge these two different systems and start seeing the essence or the quality of the interaction between the two. Now, one more thing. It's called the co-cycle. Inside the circle, I want you to draw a line from the fire down to the bottom right-hand corner to the metal, and then extend that line back up to the upper left to the wood, and then across to the earth, and then down to the water, and back up to the fire. And you'll draw a star or pentagram inside this picture. This is called the co-cycle, or the destructive cycle. By understanding this cycle, you understand if one of the elements gets out of hand or in excess, it's easy. What you do is you back up the co-cycle and stimulate points along the grandparent, and it will diminish or reduce or control the energies in that particular element. So as you see, fire is controls metal. Metal controls wood as the axe chops down the wood. Wood roots break up earth in a controlling factor. Earth dams back water. Water puts out fire. And fire melts metal. Fire controls metal, metal controls wood, wood controls earth, earth controls water. So creative and destructive, yin and yang, are both represented within this cycle. And I think Todd's giving me the signal for another break here. There are charts about this on my website, harmonyhealth.com. You go to the acupuncture section, and everything that I'm talking about here has been posted there for many years. So please use that as a reference, and let's get another song here. Thank you.
My best friend gave me the best advice. He said each day's a gift and not a given right. Leave no stone unturned, leave your fears behind, and try to take the path less traveled by. That first step you take is the longest ride. If today was your last day and tomorrow was too late, could you say goodbye to yesterday? Or would you live each moment like your last? Leave old pictures in the past. Donate every dime you had. If today was your last day. Against the grain should be a way of life. What's worth the prize is always worth the fight. Every second counts, cause there's no second try. So live like you're never living twice. Don't take the free ride in your own life. If today was your last day and tomorrow was too late, could you say goodbye to yesterday? Or would you live each moment like your last? Leave old pictures in the past. Donate every dime you had. And what you call those friends you never see? Reminisce on memories. Would you forgive your enemies? Won't you find that one you dream in us? Swear up and down to God above that you finally fall in love. If today was your last day, if today was your last day, would you make your mark by mending a broken heart? You know it's never too shoot for the stars, regardless of who you are.
So okay, we're back. So we've been talking about the five element cycle. We're going to get a little bit deeper into that, and we're going to go through each one of the elements and talk about associations or harmonics that go along with each of the elements, and you'll see how they make sense pretty quickly. So since we're in June and we're in the middle of the fire element, let's talk about the fire element first. The fire element, summertime, is related to it. Heat. All right. So if you see excess heat, red, redness in the face, redness in the body, this is an indication of an imbalance or an excess in the fire element. The flavor that goes with the fire is burnt or scorched. The expression of fire imbalance is speech. You'll see an excessive speech. Somebody with a fire imbalance talks a lot. The planet is Mars, the direction is south, and the activity through life is growing. It's very yang, it's very upward and growing, and it's the peak yang, maximum yang. There's four elements in the four meridians in the fire element. In the yang side, you have the small intestine, and you have the triple burner or triple warmer. On the inside of the circle, you have the heart and the pericardium, which is the protector of the heart. Then we move on to the earth element. Excuse me. Sorry about that. And we're getting towards the end of the hour. My voice is like just hanging in there.
Barely.
Earth element, we talked about being late summer, early fall. Now, in ancient texts, the earth element, this orientation of the five elements is actually different than what you're seeing here. This is the more modern version. In the ancient version of this, the earth element is actually in the middle. And then you see four points around the outside of the earth being in the center, or the source of everything. But in the five element production, the way it is, earth is late summer, the weather pattern is humidity, the color is yellow, the yellow of harvested wheat, the flavor is sweet. I'm breaking up, man. My voice is like not holding on here at all. I think you ought to go get a cold one and chill out on your Friday night. I think, Todd, can you fill in with music the rest of this? I really sorry about that. We'll get back into this five element stuff shortly. I did want to definitely remind you of the party Friday night or Monday night at the Uptown and Proposition C. Please look into it for yourself. I don't want to tell you how to vote, but please become a concerned person and make your decisions as such. Thank you very much. I apologize for cutting it brief out tonight. Everybody have a good weekend. We'll see you next week on Minutes to Memories.